And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have heard enough and to spare, had enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou hast never given me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this my son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and was found. This is God's word. For a few moments, saints, we'd like to share around the thought, what makes heaven sing? What makes heaven sing? The usher's going to let the folks on the outside come in. Again, we are blessed today for having the varied way in which we express our worship and our way in which we can bless each other and encourage one another in the Lord. And we are certainly grateful again for each one of the ministries of our church who participated here today and share with you their gifts and manner in which they can again demonstrate facets of who God is. I know that, however, there was one particular group that came out, our drama ministry, and some of y'all are still trying to figure out what happened. Amen. You know, we are in our churches sometimes, and I'm with this, that everything that's in the world is not for the church. But nonetheless, there is a saying that we have, or that's had, that they're in our culture And in our society and in our world, there is this exchange or sometimes a sharing of expression where life imitates art. Y'all know what that means? That means basically that there can be something that you see, just take it what's contemporary, like on television, and it seeks to give an expression of what you see or seem to see out in the world. The TV shows that they have seek to try to give a real life presentation in what you're confronted with on an everyday basis. Are you with me here? Now, I said this before, but that's what happens out, you know, that there's a way in which you have this, but sometimes an exchange, because sometimes what you see out in on television, sometimes it captures your imagination, and then you seek to try to imitate it in real life. And neither one is a full reality. Because what you see, if you're trying to put on TV what is happening in real life, well, in real life, people are getting hurt. Lives are being affected. On TV, you might see a presentation of it, but after about 10 or 15 minutes, you're going to a commercial. Y'all ain't hear me. On TV, you can go to a commercial and say cut and then come back in 5 or 10 minutes. But in life, you don't have that privilege. You can't say stop when somebody's getting ready to get robbed or hurt or something happened. You can't tell the producer to cut and I'm going to do another take. That's not real life. In life, things keep happening. People lose their lives. There's no way you can press a button and say I'm going to change the channel. So sometimes there is a mix and folks lose a true sense of reality. And I mention that because I want to, again, look at what our drama ministry did today. And this is between you and what was in your head. Depending upon what you saw, what you thought you saw, and what you might not want to see again. Are you with me here? Because what I saw a presentation, I saw a demonstration, I saw a picture of what life is and has been and could be in a lot of people's lives that we know. Are you with me here? But then there's a problem here because things happen like that, and then when we in church are so insulated by how we view reality, that means that we got our head in a box, and we think that if I can ignore things, they not happening. Yeah, 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 yeah. So what we begin to do, we begin to live life in a lack of reality. And what happens is when reality hits you, you don't know how to deal with it. And so when I look at this account in Luke, and I deliberately, or was led to deliberately, I read this. There's three parts to these parables, and I explain that in a minute. I read the first two. I read the first two parables. All of them have a kind of going together, but I read the first two. Number one, because if I would have read the whole chapter, I would have lost y'all. Amen. So I read the first two, but there's another reason. Because the third parable has a different yet like signification about what Christ was doing. See, what the Lord Jesus did, what he summed down, he is the master teacher. That's right. If nobody else knows how to show reality, Jesus does. He is more down to earth than anybody I know. He is so deep. He'll use what's in the world to teach you about what you should not be doing in the world. But there's something else about Christ. He is more approachable than anybody I know. And so in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus was doing his ministry. He was doing his thing. And the Bible says, and let me read it for you. It says, then drew near unto him, talk about Christ, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. First of all, what struck me when I began to read this is this, that the people who were supposed to be on the outside were the very only ones who really wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Y'all gonna stay with me for a minute? The Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. In other words, the people who were the outcasts, the excluded and the rejected were more apt and wanting to hear what Jesus had to say than the folks who were supposed to be representing God. The Bible says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, we got to pause for a minute because there's a segue here. Because there's two groups of folks here. You got the publicans and the sinners who want to hear Jesus. Then you got the Pharisees and the scribes who wonder what Jesus is doing. And when he began to, what? As Jesus was teaching and the sinners and the publicans were listening, the scribes and the Pharisees began to murmur. That means they grumbled. Now listen to me now. The grumbling was not just complaining, but the grumbling came from a fountain or from their spirit of indignation. In other words, they didn't want complaining because of what Jesus was saying or doing. They were indignant that Jesus was spending time with these folks. They know what indignation is? It is a way in which someone acts out again their chutzpah. That means, you know, how dare you, the nerve you have. And basically, they're not really talking about the person they're talking about. It's a reflection of what they think about themselves. But then what happens is this. When they begin to murmur, and if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, you see also this, that along with this, he gives you another nugget of what's happened. Same scenario. But in the other account in the book of Matthew, the Bible says that the scribes and the Pharisees, not only did they grumble, but they also spoke to Jesus' disciples. And they said to Jesus, what is wrong with him in essence? What is he doing talking to those people? But then in verse 3, it says this, you stay there. I ain't gonna be long. And he, talking about Jesus, spake this parable unto them, saying. Now, what's going to happen is he's going to take us on a journey to explain why he's there and why they're there. He's going to explain all about what's happening here. He spake unto them this parable, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, or his family and friends, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now watch now. This is the end of the parable. Now Jesus Christ is going to give the spiritual point he's making. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Wait a minute. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Pause, the spiritual point he's making. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Are y'all with me here? Now, a parable, listen to me now, a parable is a way in which, it's not just a story, it's just not a saying. It's a way of teaching, a methodology that Jesus uses to make a demonstration of a spiritual truth. It means to come alongside parably. In other words, what he's trying to impress upon them, he uses a parable as a means to further teach them about something he wants to show them. So he uses this method of parables. But now I gave you two parables, saints, two parables that were kind of short. But then what struck me when I read this time and time again, what struck me is when he went to the third one. And the Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Now, what got me was this. When Jesus does these parables, are y'all following me here? When Jesus does these parables, number one, they are not necessarily accounts of something that really happened. But they're not fairy tales. They're not stories. He's using it to make a point. Are y'all with me here? Number two, you will notice that most of the time, if not all the time, in the parable, he does not use names.
Yes, sir.
Because the point is not the name, it's the truth he's trying to convey. But the third thing that got me was this. And he said a certain man had two sons. Now, what I thought about, I've seen this time and time again. And listen to me. When Christ is teaching, he has the prerogative. That means the right to do however he wants to tell this account. It's not something that actually happened per se in terms of the parable. So he's free to use whatever means he wants to tell it. What struck me was this, that Jesus could have said a certain man had one son. But he says a certain man had two sons. Why not just use the one? The other two parables, he said one. But this time he said a certain man had two sons. And the reason why he uses two sons, because he's going to make two points about two different kinds of people. See, I thought about that because what? Christ knows where he's going with this. That's right. Right now, some of y'all don't know where I'm going with this. But he knows where he's going with this. He knows the point he's going to make. Not he's trying to make, and he's trying to make this point to his audience. In other words, while he's talking, he knows who he's talking to, and he knows what part of the parable is pointed to one person and to another group. And let me tell you this too about Jesus. That when he does this sometimes, he knows just what he's saying. And sometimes the people he's talking to don't get the message till he's almost done.
Yes, sir.
And by the time Jesus gets finished, he done hook you.
Yes, sir.
Before you can walk out,
yes,
before you can tell him off,
yes,
he done struck you in your heart.
Yes,
so stay with me for a minute. Notice the first two parables. Notice the point that when you had these publicans and tax collectors, they're the outcasts. The publican, that's the sinner. The publican was the one, and the tax collectors. These folks here, they were the ones nobody had wanting to do with. He said here, there was the publicans and the sinners. The publicans, again, were those folks, if you look in the gospel later on, that two people came to the temple to pray. The publican came to the temple and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He couldn't even lift his head up to look at God, look at the throne of heaven. The other one came to the temple and he said, he had his head all stuck up. He said, I give many tithes and I fast all the time. In actuality, he came in boastfully in the presence of God and talked like God was impressed about what he was doing. And not only that, not only he had the nerve to look up to heaven, yet look down on a man who was doing the right thing. Anytime I come to church, anytime I come to the house of God, I don't come and praise God because I deserve it or I'm doing God a favor. I praise God because what he didn't do to me before I got here.